Amen. Hope College, how's it going? I know y'all are ready for the first week of classes to end, so I'm glad to culminate that today. I got two quick announcements. One, there's a root beer kegger, so it's root beer. This evening, I think around 9 o'clock at Pillar Church, so just kind of over by the admissions office, can hang out, get to meet some folks, and have root beer if that's your thing. Number two, small group signups are live. It's live. That means you can sign up. So if you are looking for a small group, again, small groups are just a mechanism for discipleship. One of the mechanisms we have here for you to get plugged in into community and study the Word of God with other people. You can go online. That's hope.edu/campusministries, which is one word. And sign up, have different time slots, co-ed groups, all male groups, all ladies groups. So do that today. All right. In Proverbs 14:12, we find these words. There is a way that seems right to a person, but in its end is death. This is the word of the Lord. The last time that my parents physically disciplined me or my sister Summer, who's 2 years older than me, was when Summer was about 14 years old. We'd managed to make scuff marks on the linoleum floor, horsing around in the kitchen, which, if you know anything about my family, is a big no-no. Summer's always been pretty sassy, a little mouthy, and so while I wasn't shocked in the aftermath of being scolded by our dad that she mumbled something unkind underneath her breath to our dad, I was still scared. I wasn't shocked, but I was like, nah, Summer, that's not the way to go. In one swift gesture, our dad grabbed Summer by the front collar of her pajama top, and he lifted her from the ground and had her suspended in the air. I watched Summer's house slippers fall off her feet as if they were trying to run for cover. And in quite unsavory language, our dad scolded Summer about talking back for what seemed like an eternity, and he shook her there on the wall until he eventually decided to let go and she fell and slumped to the ground. Angry, scared, embarrassed, she was feeling all of these things, but she was hell-bent to not let him know it. But, you know, I was her little brother, her only sibling, and I could tell. I knew that she was hurt. My parents were the master purveyors of right and wrong in our family, a united front if one has ever existed. The slightest misbehavior was treated as a potential terroristic insurrection, an insubordinate act of aggression, not to be tolerated. When they said jump, if you were wise as a child, you knew that the correct response was, how high? My parents were not about that timeout life. Being beaten with a belt on your backside was more their style. Dad handled the whoopings exclusively. But our mom was a little bit too small in stature for that, and interestingly enough, she kind of didn't have the emotional capacity to do the whoopings herself, even if she wasn't small, so she would resort to slapping us in the face. That was her go-to. Apologies were rare in our home. I mean, my sister and I, of course, were forced to apologize to each other whenever we found ourselves engaged in some sibling incongruity, but not so with our parents. In their minds, every incident of discipline was justified. Every whooping, every reprimand, every curse word hurled our way was justified. It seemed right to them. There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. Now, in fairness to my parents, you don't know what you don't know. Or if I could put it differently, you live what you value. And the gospel was not alive in our home. God was not spoken of ever in our home. Attending any church for any reason wasn't happening. The Ellises did not pray. The Ellises did not read the Bible. And so there were no bedtime renditions of "Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep." Whatever seemed right to my parents is exactly what they did. And if I'm going to be honest, which I try to be, some of what they thought to do for me as a child was really, really good. I was, as you might imagine, a little chunky as a child. Sometimes I was sporting those uncool corduroy pants from the Husky section of Kmart. And I was shy, and I was really nice to people, and I was smart. And I wasn't considered black enough, whatever that is, for some black students in my school. And then for another set of white students, I just couldn't really fit in all the time. So that equaled me not having a lot of friends. But my parents tried to affirm me. They would tell me that it's okay for me to be myself. If people like me, that's fine. But if they didn't, so what? My parents did a lot that was exceedingly good for them to do. But whatever they did, however good, however bad, it was all based on themselves. It was based on what they thought was right, what seemed right to them. And I'm here to tell you that that's no way to live. One commentator, Concordia University Chicago's Andrew Steinman, wrote this about Proverbs 14:12. Humans can justify many actions that God judges to be sinful. Humans can justify many actions that God justifies or that God judges to be sinful. Because of sin, human beings are hardwired to think more of themselves. We think more of ourselves than we ought. In the quiet recesses of our psyche, we desire to be all-knowing and to be all-powerful. We will enslave, we will beat, we will bomb, we will discriminate, and yes, we will hate. We will steal, we will kill, we will destroy, because it seems right to us in any given circumstance. We think we're God. We think that we're able to make our own way in this world. But we are mistaken. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. And no one comes to the Father into eternal paradise except through his risen Son. His name is Jesus, if you didn't know. And it's in surrendering to him that we find life and that we avoid death. Now, I recognize that many of you do not know me, so you'll have to beg my pardon for getting so personal, but I want to ask you, do you know the one? The one who keeps galaxies in picture-perfect congruence, pirouetting with grace and exactitude. Do you know the one? The one who awakened you this morning based not on your merit, based not on any obligation or pity, but because he just loves you so desperately? Do you know that one, the one who chose to soil himself with the soot of humanity and die so you could live an abundant life on the layover down here, the layover down here on your way to a final destination up there? Do you know that one? I get it. You know, you're in college now, you cool. You're in college, it's a different world. I get it. But I don't want you to let the smooth taste fool you. You were created for much, much more than a degree. Much, much more than a degree. I encourage you to pursue academic excellence. I encourage you to pursue athletic excellence. But do not let it be true that you are spiritually lifeless, that you are worshiping at the altar of me, myself, and I, that you are infatuated with what seems right. Maybe you have not heard me this morning, so I'll say it again. There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. Go in peace.